Love so amazing, so divine, so true. Rarely has so much been said about so great a goal by so stunningly few words. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, these words. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Rarely has so much been said about so great a goal by so stunningly few words. This is a weekend of great joy. Easter Sunday's around the corner. Spring in fits and starts is slowly emerging. The weather's promising. Family and friends will be gathering. A pandemic perhaps is waning. It's a great time of year. It's a wonderful season. It's even a Good Friday. But wait, Good Friday? What's so good about Good Friday? Why do we remember? Why do we celebrate the torturous death of a remarkable man at the hands of mobs and soldiers on a hill far, far away? Of all the questions that people first encounter when they see the claims of Christianity, when they encounter Passion Week, when they consider what God directed 2,000 years ago, a handful of questions rise to the top. And one of them, pressing for a day like this, is that. Why did Jesus have to die? One pastor said, probably correctly, that among seekers and skeptics alike, far more often than the question, does God exist, is the question, why did Jesus have to die? To so many, it seems like a form of divine child abuse. Seems so unnecessary, so avoidable. Why not just move along? Move along from the King of Palm Sunday to the resurrected Lord of Easter and the glory of God in the heavens who reigns on high. Why did Jesus have to die? Most of us know the story. According to the Bible, Jesus lived a perfect life, teaching, healing, loving. He's arrested then on trumped-up charges, the gospel writers say, betrayed by one disciple, denied by another. He's questioned about his identity as the authorities try to get him to say incriminating statements against himself. The fickle crowd joins in. Religious and political leaders argue with one another, and then they come together. Jesus must die, they say, even though they can't identify the crime. And so he's crucified. Perhaps the most agonizing kind of death, fit only for criminals. And there's Jesus, forgiving, inviting, questioning, trusting, dies. But much more was happening on that cross than meets the eye, and that's where 2 Corinthians 5:21 helps us. On Easter Sunday, we're going to look at the remainder of that passage, but this one verse tells us why Jesus had to die, tells us what it accomplished, tells us why it was good. There are multiple ways to assess the death of Jesus. One is as a symbol. Jesus was the perfect example of a kind of otherworldly compassion, of an impressive suffering. Jesus showed us how to endure wrongdoing, and he did. In a year for all of us where we have felt at times wronged or aggrieved, victimized, how timely this example is. But Jesus' death was more than just an example, a symbol of virtuous suffering. A sacrifice. That's another way to assess the death of Jesus. On the cross, Jesus was the object of divine judgment for the wrongdoing committed. Not just any wrongdoing, but ours, yours, mine. The sin of the world, across the globe, throughout history, a mountain of evil and wrong Indeed, the Bible does teach that Jesus died as a sacrifice. He took our penalty. But there's more. Not just a symbol, not just a sacrifice, Jesus died as our substitute. Substitution for you and for me on the cross. Jesus became the substitution for our sin. The best word might be the word exchange, that on the cross, God enables an exchange of our sinfulness for the righteousness of Jesus. The essence of sin is that we human beings continue to substitute ourselves for God, while God, the essence of salvation, is substituting himself for us. How'd this happen? What was going on between the Father and Son? The greatest of theologians can't adequately describe how the Trinity was at work there on that day at Calvary. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 helps us. Look more closely. God made him. Here's the Father acting upon the Son with the complete cooperation of Jesus, who had no sin. Jesus, the sinless human. Jesus, the perfect Lamb, the Lamb of God, the Bible says, to be sin for us. On the cross, Jesus willingly took the sin of the world, including ours, so that in him, united to him, reconnected to him, receiving his benefits, we might become, we might be seen as Jesus is seen by God, the righteousness of God, acceptable, perfect, moral, spiritual requirement before God. See, Jesus had to die so that we could be acquitted, so that we could be forgiven in God's sight. Jesus had to die so that we would receive his righteousness in God's sight. Jesus had to die so that we could be set free and transformed. Jesus had to die so that we could have relationship with the God who made us. Just two verses earlier, in verse 19, it says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. See, friends, the death of Jesus, and only the death of Jesus, could accomplish this. That Roman soldier spoke better than he knew when he said, surely this man was the Son of God. And those results are offered to you and me, and that makes it a good, that makes it a grand, that makes it a great Friday. Writer Philip Yancey wrote, if Jesus of Nazareth had been one more innocent victim, he would have made his mark in history and faded from the scene. No religion would have sprung up around him. But the cross redefines God as the one who was willing to relinquish power for the sake of love. Power, he writes, tends to cause suffering. Love, being vulnerable, absorbs it. On a hill called Calvary, God renounced the one for the sake of the other. Paul calls the cross the love of God, a love that compels us to respond and to receive. The question is, have you? Is the death of Jesus that's been offered for humanity, has that been received by you? Have you told God, I need the great exchange? I receive the great exchange, my sin for Jesus' righteousness. What a deal. And it's on offer for a limited time. If you haven't received that, tell him now, on this day. Then you can know and rejoice for eternity that it was indeed, it is indeed, a good Friday. What wondrous love is this?